Please listen to the word of God as I read from the third chapter of Ezra. When the seventh month came and the Israelites were in the towns, the people gathered together in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priest, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his kin set out to build the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as prescribed in the law of Moses, the man of God. They set up on the altar on its foundation because they were in dread of the neighboring peoples, and they offered burnt offerings upon it to the Lord, morning and evening. And they kept the festival of booths as prescribed, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the ordinance as required for each day. And after that, the regular burnt offerings, the offerings at the new moon and at all the sacred festivals of the Lord, and the offerings of everyone who made a free will offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not yet been laid. So they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrians, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the grant that they had received from King Cyrus of Persia. In the second year after they arrived at the house of God in Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel and Jeshua made a beginning. Together with the rest of their people, the priests and the Levites and all who had come to Jerusalem from the captivity, they appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upwards to have oversight of the work on the house of the Lord. And Jeshua with his sons and his kin, and Kadmiel and his sons, Binui and Hodaviah, along with the sons of Henadad, the Levites, their sons and kin, together took charge of the workers in the house of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments were stationed to praise the Lord with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, according to the direction of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to God. For God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people responded with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of families, old people who had seen the first house on its foundations, wept with a loud voice when they saw this house, though many shouted aloud for joy. So that the people could not distinguish the sound of joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted so loudly that the sound was heard far away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this very hour. Lord God, I pray that you would sit Patrice down and that your spirit would stand up in me, that I would be able to preach with power and authority, Lord God, not that I would receive any glory, but that you would receive all honor and all praise. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are the rock, you are our Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Over the past several years, the East Liberty community has experienced a transformation. And even now, the community continues to experience change. Many of you may remember a time when East Liberty was the third largest shopping area in the state of Pennsylvania. You may recall when it was possible to take a train from what is now the village of Eastside, or formerly known as East Liberty Station, to Points East. Or you may recall that there were once two buildings across the street, the remaining Highland Building and the twin building that occupied the former PNC Bank building site. Our East Liberty community has changed and transformed. and is becoming a vibrant, lighted, and living community again. As a congregation and denomination, we understand transformation. For today, we celebrate Reformation Sunday and acknowledge that the church is a living organism that is reformed and continually being reformed. In order to remain relevant, to ensure that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus are welcome to enter into our doors, and likewise to go forth again, exemplifying God's love to all they encounter. Now, even in the midst of reform and transformation, one constant remains here at East Liberty Presbyterian Church. We continue to be a spiritual retreat, a place of respite and restoration, a house of prayer and sanctuary, healing and redemption, a place where children gather daily to enhance their lives with art and music, and those seeking sobriety find support, a place where people in need of just a place to meet, to rehearse, or simply come in out of the rain find an accommodating room, a place where those who are hungry find a meal or food to carry home, and those who are homeless find a place to lay their heads, at least for the next several days. One ironic principle of change, transformation, and transition is that disruption, destruction, damage, or devastation often precedes change. Whether the change involves a person, relationship, facility, or even a community. In today's passage, the Israelites were in the process of a much anticipated and desired transition. According to Ezra 1, the Lord had stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he sent out a decree to release the Israelites to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of the Lord. Cyrus also ensured the Israelites had the supplies and resources needed to rebuild their place of worship. Brothers and sisters, I contend that God is better than good. For you see, God will not only soften the hearts of captors to set captives free, but God will also move captors to provide for the captives' needs. The Israelites returned to their beloved Jerusalem, their home, the place from which they had been exiled while held captive in Babylon. One commentator noted that the people had rebuilt their homes, and now it was time for them to rebuild God's house, the place of worship. It was time for them to not only give God the appropriate thanks and praise for protecting and keeping them while in captivity, but also to acknowledge God's deliverance and provision now that they were home. It was time for the people to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to send up sounds of praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. So the people set about to build an altar on the foundation of the original place of worship and offer sacrifices to God, celebrating the fall festival in accordance with the law of Moses, as well as to ensure safety from their nearby enemies. Appropriately, the people's first celebration was the festival of booths, which according to Leviticus 23 states was observed to commemorate God's deliverance of the Israelite ancestors from captivity in Egypt. Now, we regularly celebrate birthdays, anniversaries of marriage or sobriety, promotions, reunions, and holidays. We may not realize it, but those celebrations also commemorate God's goodness and mercy, God's everlasting kindness towards us. For it is God who blesses us with life, loved ones, relationships, memories, breakthroughs, and holidays to celebrate. So first things first, the people of God built the altar upon the original foundation of the destroyed temple, and they celebrated, reestablishing worship and acknowledging God's goodness towards them. They didn't allow their worship to be hindered by the fact that the temple was not yet rebuilt. You see, worship and praise ought not be hampered by our circumstances or based on what might be lacking in our lives. The Israelites' desire and ability to acknowledge all that God had brought them through was not hampered or stunted by the lack of their facility. Oftentimes, we let our current circumstances get in the way of our praise, the first obstacle, hindrance, or inconvenience, and we forget to worship God for all that God has already done. Sounds of adoration are sometimes replaced with murmuring and complaining. About 6 months after the worship altar was laid, the Israelites began rebuilding the temple. When the foundation of the temple was laid, immediately sounds of praise, thanksgiving, and celebration went up. The priests praised and the Levites praised. The people were about to realize the reestablishment of their house of worship, the place where the Spirit of God symbolically dwelt, the place that signified they were a people beloved, a community of believers, a place of sanctuary, solidarity, and communal gathering. If we use our sanctified imaginations, we can visualize the party and the celebration that was going on. Last week, there was a celebration about a block down the street from our building when the Highland Avenue Bridge was reopened after months of reconstruction. In the next few days, the East Liberty community will celebrate the relocation of EECM's programs from ELPC and other locations to Community House. Parties and celebrations have already begun and will continue well into 2014. With the opening of Community House, those who are homeless, hungry, or in need of mentoring and educational enhancement will receive assistance and service with dignity in a state-of-the-art facility. And for the very first time in the history of the organization of EECM, their administrative houses will be under the same roof as their programs. Now, sounds of joy, praise, happiness, and adoration will be heard throughout the community for all that God has done to facilitate dignified and cohesive services to those who are sometimes characterized as the least of these. But there will be those who long for the days of ELPC being identified with the operation of the men's shelter, soup kitchen, food pantry, Meals on Wheels, tutoring, and the summer camp program. There will probably be a few sounds of sadness that denote that we've lost a little of who we thought we were, or our identity as a community church will be altered and changed from the perspective of some. Similarly, when the foundation of the temple was laid, there were a few older folks in Jerusalem who remembered Solomon's magnificent temple. They wept aloud, realizing the contrast between the prosperous circumstances in which the foundation of the first temple had been laid and the desolate, reduced state of the country and city when the second temple was begun. They bemoaned and perceived the inferior size and less costly stones that were used in the foundation of the second. Now, the second temple was grand and beautiful, but no matter how great its material splendor was, it was inferior to some in respect to the temple that had been built by Solomon. Yet the glory of the second temple far outshone that of the first in a much more important way. Because it was eventually in these walls that the incarnate Savior would be received. There will always be people who remember how things used to be, what used to be where. This is especially true in Pittsburgh. You all know what I'm talking about. Most people give you directions based on landmarks that no longer exist. Ezra tells us that an indistinguishable sound was produced when celebration and praise was combined with the sound of sorrow and weeping. Traditionally, Eastern people's expression of sorrow and sadness are loud and intense, often very fervent, punctuated with wailing and howls that are sometimes indistinguishable from the sounds of joy. And so it was in this particular case. The sounds of joy and sadness, thanksgiving and sorrow could not be separated from one another, and some would assume that everyone was giving praise. Brothers and sisters, we know how far our East Liberty community has come and that there is still a distance to go. But we give praise and thanksgiving that new housing opportunities are available or being built from everyone in the community, from those who currently require a shelter to those who can afford six-figure homes. We are thankful for access to needed amenities, be they purchased from Target or the dollar store. We are appreciative of local employment opportunities, be they in the service industry or at Google. We realize as a worshiping community and as the church universal that we have come a long way, but there is still a distance to go. We long for the day when all of God's children are fully welcomed and recognized in the doors of the church, and distinctions are not based on income, color, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, vocation, or class. When EECM leaves ELPC, there will be shouts of joy for the opening of Community House, and they will be combined with the sounds of sorrow and loss for what we considered our contribution to the larger community. However, I think this is how it's supposed to be. For it's okay for us to express sadness for what has been lost, but it's equally important to express thanksgiving for all that God has done. The Bible assures us that God will turn our mourning into dancing, and that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The indistinguishable sounds of joy and sadness, loss and thanksgiving are all a part of God's plans for change, growth, opportunity, transformation, and reform. For in the words of Barbara Marciniak, for it is only in the shattering that rebuilding can occur. Now I invite you all this morning to open up your mouths and offer a shout of praise for the marvelous and wonderful things that God is doing, has done, and will continue to do, not only in this community, but also through this congregation, this gathered community of worshipers. Somebody ought to say, amen. Amen. Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? Oh, dear God, we give you thanks that you have created us as creatures who are complete in relationship. Relationships with one another and relationship with you. We praise you that you form us together in a body not unlike a human body, a body that worships you together, that praises you together, that loves one another and cares for one another, that has all the flaws of humans because it is a human institution, and has all the beauty and majesty of God because it is yours. We thank you that for generation after generation after generation, men and women, voices have come forward to reform this body when it went astray, to help us to find ways to be closer to you, ways to greater express your truth, ways to greater represent your will. We thank you that we are reformed and always reforming, and we pray that you would allow us to always be open to that voice that calls us to reform anew. We offer to you praises, shouts of praise, for the change and vitality of our community. For the new community house. And with a note of sadness, we pray that you would guide us as we once again reform our identity here at East Liberty Presbyterian Church, that you would help us to understand who we are now, who you call us to be now. Because we are so knit together in one body, because we love one another as you have commanded us to, we carry within our hearts burdens of concern for those whom we love, be they close to us or faces we never see. Those we love who need your special care this day. And so we lift up before you those who struggle, those whose bodies, minds, or spirits fail them. Those who live in circumstances of violence within their communities, within their nations, or within their homes. We pray for those who struggle with addiction, compulsions, and for those who experience the depths of despair and hopelessness. We pray for those on our prayer list and those whose names we hold in the silence of our hearts. And those whose names and faces we will never see or know, but who are nonetheless bound to us because they too are your children, our brothers and sisters.